When they went down to breakfast on the morning of the 30th of October, they found that the great hall had been decorated overnight. Enormous silk banners hung from the walls, each of them representing a Hogwarts house, red with a gold lion for Gryffindor, blue with a bronze eagle for Ravenclaw, yellow with a black badger for Hufflepuff, and green with a silver serpent for Slytherin. Behind the teacher's table, the largest banner of all bore the Hogwarts coat of arms, lion, eagle, badger, and snake united around a large letter H. Harry, Ron, and Hermione spotted Fred and George at the Gryffindor table. Once again, and most unusually, they were sitting apart from everyone else and conversing in low voices. Ron led the way over to them. "It's a bummer, all right," George was saying gloomily to Fred. "But if he won't talk to us in person, we'll have to send him the letter after all. Or we'll stuff it into his hand. He can't avoid us forever." "Who's avoiding you?" said Ron, sitting down next to them.
"Wish you would," said Fred, looking irritated at the interruption.
"What's a bummer?" Ron asked George.
"Having a nosy git like you for a brother," said George.
"You two got any ideas on the Triwizard tournament yet?" Harry asked. "Thought any more about trying to enter?"
"I asked McGonagall how the champions are chosen, but she wasn't telling," said George bitterly. "She just told me to shut up and get on with transfiguring my raccoon."
"Wonder what the tasks are going to be," said Ron thoughtfully. "You know, I bet we could do them, Harry. We've done dangerous stuff before."
"Not in front of a panel of judges, you haven't," said Fred.
"McGonagall says the champions get awarded points according to how well they've done the tasks." "Who are the judges?" Harry asked. "Well, the heads of the participating schools are always on the panel," said Hermione, and everyone looked around at her, rather surprised, "because all three of them were injured during the tournament of 1792, when a cockatrice the champions were supposed to be catching went on the rampage." She noticed them all looking at her, and said, with her usual air of impatience, that nobody else had read all the books she had. "It's all in Hogwarts, A History, though, of course, that book's not entirely reliable. A Revised History of Hogwarts would be a more accurate title, or A Highly Biased and Selective History of Hogwarts, which glosses over the nastier aspects of the school." "What are you on about?" said Ron, though Harry thought he knew what was coming. "House elves," said Hermione loudly, and proving Harry right. "Not once in over 1,000 pages does Hogwarts, A History, mention that we are all colluding in the oppression of 100 slaves." Harry shook his head and applied himself to his scrambled eggs. His and Ron's lack of enthusiasm had done nothing whatsoever to curb Hermione's determination to pursue justice for house elves. True, both of them had paid 2 sickles for an SPEW badge, but they had only done it to keep her quiet. Their sickles had been wasted, however. If anything, they seemed to have made Hermione more vociferous. She had been badgering Harry and Ron ever since, firstly to wear the badges, then to persuade others to do the same, and she had also taken to rattling around the Gryffindor common room every evening, cornering people and shaking the collecting tin under their noses.
"You do realize that your sheets are changed, your fires lit, your classrooms cleaned, and your food cooked by a group of magical creatures who are unpaid and enslaved?" she kept saying fiercely.
Some people, like Neville, had paid up just to stop Hermione glowering at them. A few seemed mildly interested in what she had to say, but were reluctant to take a more active role in campaigning. Many regarded the whole thing as a joke. Ron now rolled his eyes at the ceiling, which was flooding them all in autumn sunlight, and Fred became extremely interested in his bacon. Both twins had refused to buy an SPEW badge. George, however, leant towards Hermione.
"Listen, have you ever been down in the kitchens, Hermione?"
"No, of course not," said Hermione curtly. "I hardly think students are supposed to..."
"Well, we have," said George, indicating Fred, "loads of times, to nick food. And we've met them, and they're happy. They think they've got the best job in the world."
"That's because they're uneducated and brainwashed," Hermione began hotly.
but her next few words were drowned by the sudden whooshing noise from overhead which announced the arrival of the post-owls. Harry looked up at once and saw Hedwig soaring towards him. Hermione stopped talking abruptly. She and Ron watched Hedwig anxiously as she fluttered down onto Harry's shoulder, folded her wings, and held out her leg wearily. Harry pulled off Sirius' reply and offered Hedwig his bacon rinds, which she ate gratefully. Then, checking that Fred and George were safely immersed in further discussions about the Tri-Wizard tournament, Harry read out Sirius' letter in a whisper to Ron and Hermione. "Nice try, Harry. I'm back in the country and well hidden. I want you to keep me posted on everything that's going on at Hogwarts. Don't use Hedwig. Keep changing owls. And don't worry about me. Just watch out for yourself. Don't forget what I said about your scar. Sirius."
"Why do you have to keep changing owls?" Ron asked in a low voice.
"Hedwig'll attract too much attention," said Hermione at once. "She stands out, a snowy owl that keeps returning to wherever he's hiding. I mean, they're not native birds, are they?"
Harry rolled up the letter and slipped it inside his robes, wondering whether he felt more or less worried than before. He supposed that Sirius managing to get back without being caught was something. He couldn't deny, either, that the idea that Sirius was much nearer was reassuring. At least he wouldn't have to wait so long for a response every time he wrote. "Thanks, Hedwig," he said, stroking her. She hooted sleepily, dipped her beak briefly into his goblet of orange juice, then took off again, clearly desperate for a good long sleep in the owlery. There was a pleasant feeling of anticipation in the air that day. Nobody was very attentive in lessons, being much more interested in the arrival that evening of the people from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang. Even Potions was more bearable than usual, as it was half an hour shorter. When the bell rang early, Harry, Ron, and Hermione hurried up to Gryffindor Tower, deposited their bags and books as they had been instructed, pulled on their cloaks, and rushed back downstairs into the entrance hall. The heads of houses were ordering their students into lines.
"Weasley, straighten your hat!" Professor McGonagall snapped at Ron. "Miss Patil, take that ridiculous thing out of your hair!"
Parvati scowled and removed a large ornamental butterfly from the end of her plait.
"Follow me, please," said Professor McGonagall. "First year's in front, no pushing!"
They filed down the front steps and lined up in front of the castle. It was a cold, clear evening. Dusk was falling, and a pale, transparent-looking moon was already shining over the Forbidden Forest. Harry, standing between Ron and Hermione in the fourth row from the front, saw Denis Creevy positively shivering with anticipation among the other first years.